It is my time, however, to enjoy the sounds of Tom Korski, managing editor over at Black Locks Reporter. And Tom, good news. We now have the date for the judicial inquiry into the use of the Emergencies Act. So shall we get our popcorn?
It's a big deal because, as the judge heading the inquiry says, cabinet will be held to account, really for the first time. There have been some ineffectual parliamentary hearings. Cabinet will be held to account for the first time on the big question, why? Why would they invoke the Emergencies Act, declare a national emergency over some trucks that were in breach of parking bylaws outside of Parliament Hill? That's the big question.
Yeah, it's going to be run by a judge, and he says he will get accountability. The thing is, though, will he get the actual evidence? I mean, the Trudeau government has been shy of handing over a lot of the documents that have not been completely blacked out with a big black marker. So the stuff that we are already learning from these civil cases and what you guys have reported over at Black Locks, I mean, that's only the basic stuff. There's a lot more that needs to come out.
They have, and counsel for the commission has Public Order Emergency Commission as its formal title. They have said they have asked for cabinet documents, and cabinet has said, yes, that's not a concession, by the way. They don't have a choice, because otherwise the commission would just go to court, get a court order, and now you're fighting the law. Those documents the commission gets cannot be redacted, and they will be made public. We have a question as to whether they'll be put on their website, so everyone in the country with an internet dial-up can see exactly what happened, when, and why. But cabinet has a lot to answer for, Alex. There's been no coherent explanation to date. There really has not been. We spent 5 months chasing every bogus theory about associating truckers with violent crime and various horrific incidents. They tried to burn down a building. It was all disproven. It was all baloney. They have to come up with something, and it has to be good.
Yeah. Otherwise, Marco Mendicino is going to be under that very crowded bus, which I don't know how many more people can go under it, but maybe they'll find another one.
They'll find room for Marco, trust me.
Yeah, there you go. Meanwhile, maybe make some room for Omar. Omar Al-Ghabra, the transport minister. What do you know? You guys have documents saying that he knew last spring that the airport security workforce was short-staffed by 25%, and you guys got this in briefing notes. And remember, Al-Ghabra at the time when he was being questioned about this, of course, it was our fault because we forgot how to travel. But no, they knew.
They knew May 13th. Remember that date. His staff says in a briefing note, by the way, all those airport security screeners, federally regulated employees who were laid off during the pandemic when air travel crashed, well, a quarter of them got another job and they didn't come back. You're down a quarter. You're down one out of four airport screeners, Omar. He was told that 3 months ago. What did they do? Well, we see what they did, actually.
Yeah.
You can
blame
see the
everyone
lineup. The lineup snaking through the terminals at Pearson. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I had to go through Pearson a couple of weeks ago. It was absolutely, it was like flying through the third world. It was unbelievable. So it's not enough for the feds to say, oh, how shocking it was. If only we had known. They did know.
Well, they did, and he's going to have to explain this, I'll call it a lie, but this little inconvenient mistruth. But he's going to have to explain that to MPs at a hearing. That's on August 22nd. I think it's also going to be televised, no?
Commons Transport Committee. Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And, you know, the Canadian Air Transport Security Authority, that's the federal agency responsible for the screeners, they've already said in committee testimony, this wasn't about money. Never mind that, because that's the old excuse in Ottawa. You know, we're not very good, but if only we could get 15% more in our budget, then look out, world. No, the agency said it wasn't about money. This was about management. They screwed it up.
Yeah. Period. No forethought. No. What happens when the pandemic ends? Nothing. They just didn't do their job. This issue is not getting enough attention. It really bothers me because this does have such sweeping implications for every single Canadian. But BC 11. This is the government censorship of the internet. It's really heating up. And cabinet was warned this week that the CRTC has too much powers under a YouTube regulation bill. So this coalition of unions, we're talking publishers, I guess, at the Actors Guild. So we're talking the creative types are coming forward and they're saying, look, we're going to join the other critics on the other side of this, but this goes way too far of censoring, you know, on the government's behalf.
What's really interesting about that, Alex, is these are people who generally support the bill. The bill is about money.
Yeah, these are people that would normally be offended by everything, and now they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
The Bill C-11 is about money. It's about trying to get some money from Netflix, Disney Plus, YouTube to pay for Canadian production. That's fine. The downside is it's the first bill in Canadian history that regulates the internet. That's a problem. And these groups point out you're giving the unelected Canadian Radio, Television, Telecommunications Commission, the federal regulator of airwaves, unbelievable power meeting in secret to regulate communications between one Canadian and another, which is what the internet is. It's not broadcasting. And when you have friends of cabinet or this bill saying, easy on the power grab by the CRTC, whose chief executive, by the way, is a former telecom lobbyist. This is not a free speech guy. That's a lot of worries.
Yeah, and it's in the Senate's hand right now. So really, the only saving grace that we have is the Senate to do its job and actually have some sober second thought.
And there have been other internet bills that have failed. This would be the third iteration by cabinet. And why do they always fail? Well, cabinet doesn't have the votes. They still don't. And there are people, very serious people of all political stripes, who have very strong feeling about free expression in our country, Alex. Government hands off the internet. There's a lot of people who feel very strongly about that.
Yeah, it wasn't lost on me, the irony of Justin Trudeau speaking about the importance of free speech and Salman Rushdie fighting for that one. I'm like, really, guy? You might want to sit this one out, but boy, oh boy. Got to talk about this one. So the federal IT department, Shared Services Canada, spent $50,000, interviewed 58 computer students to ask if they want to work in Ottawa, and they said they rated it, quote, bureaucratic, boring, and hierarchical. I can't say that word. Hierarchical. You'll fix me on that one because it's a word I can never say. But nonetheless, it doesn't have cool factor. They'd rather work in the private sector. But they also cited potential irreconcilable ideological differences with the government of power. Did no one tell them you're not supposed to have an ideology when you're in the public service?
That was odd, wasn't it? But it was. Yeah, no, yeah. It was 50,000 to interview, like you say, 58 computer kids. Boring, hierarchical, rigid, and bureaucratic. I think they nailed it, Alex.
Yeah. But you get paid really well. You'll never lose your job, and you get a massive pension with benefits.
Yes, I got to go with boring and rigid. Yeah, no, you nailed it, kids.
Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, I don't know. I mean, the public service, as you know, is the sector is so bloated right now, more bloated than ever before. How are they going to recruit these youngins?
They actually worry about it. Did you know that? We see that in internal memos all the time. The Treasury Board, which is responsible for hiring, et cetera. You'd say, "What? This should be the happiest workplace on earth." They have a lot of worries, and one of them is public service is quite gray, and there's not a lot of young people. I know this is a shock, who come out of post-secondary education and say, "Look out! I am coming to Ottawa, and I'm going to do my bit for the country." That has really passed. That was a 1970s thing. It's not like that anymore.
If they were set up in Toronto, though, oh, they would flock to it. Like, could you imagine if Parliament were in Toronto, like the city that is not asleep? They would all flock to it. Maybe that would be the game changer. But nonetheless, all right.
Yeah, I know Toronto has, you know, Ottawa has things too.
What? What other than the river? What?
We have sidewalks. We have parks. Boring and
rigid.
You're
still allowed to gather in them? Yeah, there you go.
I think that should be our city motto: boring and rigid.
Yeah, there you go. It's totally predictable. Tom, always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex.
That is Tom Korski, the managing editor of Black Locks Reporter. They get the goods, of course, subscription-based, but not a penny wasted on that one. He always gets really good stuff. This is the Alex Pearson Show. You're listening to 640 Toronto.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.